What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, it's Kevin J, the best thing since the colour blue, and you're listening to the Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week I speak to Sarissa Tatorin. We'll be discussing about art and mental well-being. Welcome, Sarissa, to the show. How are you doing?
Yes, great, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Sarissa, I think it'd be fantastic if you'd tell us a bit about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Thanks. I guess I've always been very creative, and it's the one thing that I have done throughout my life. And I've always had a bit of an interest in and around mental health. I've had a few of my own struggles in the past, and I have worked with, found ways to work with that as I've sort of grown and evolved, if you like. And through art has really helped me to, you know, overcome lots of obstacles. So I found it to be quite a relaxing way to deal with the stresses of life.
Fantastic. And obviously from doing that, you've found a way of supporting other people, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's start with what would you say are someone's struggles with mental health? What does mental health mean to you?
I think there can be lots of different things that can be struggles for people. I don't think there's enough research that's really gone into it. There is not enough support generally, because a lot of struggles can even come from learning difficulties and being overwhelmed, sensory overload with the world. Lots of things can be quite overwhelming for people. And obviously trauma can also be another one. But I don't think that there's enough support for the whole range of mental health. And I just think that for people, you know, who struggle with it, it's really about listening to what's inside for you, really, where you are with your mental health. You know, what's your triggers, or, you know, what do you find that can cause you to be quite stressed? It can be something really simple, like the bright lights in the supermarkets can really trigger people, and can be overwhelming and can cause a lot of stress and anxiety, even just being in those busy places. So for people to sort of have a little look about where they are with it and what really affects them, and then being able to keep within those boundaries so that you don't get yourself in situations that can be really overwhelming and that can really stress you out, because that can set you off for the rest of the day, you know, and then you can end up just, you know, crashing or spiraling from there when you're in situations that can cause a lot of stress.
What were some of your mental well-being struggles that you experienced?
It definitely came a bit later in life for me. I must have realized it later in life is probably the better way to say it. It had been there for quite a while, but I hadn't really understood what was going on. But I had a bit of a difficult upbringing, and I had a turbulent relationship with my children's dad, who was a serving police officer. And I found the relationship to be quite overwhelming and quite stressful. And it was very difficult that I got to the point where I ended up having a nervous breakdown, and I suffered quite a lot of trauma. And that then led me on a path to, you know, really struggling, I guess, you know, in Cornwall, where I live, with mental health. And there's very limited resources and support, And I, you know, it's very hard to get help. And so I struggled quite a bit with it then, but I did manage to get some good support within areas of where I needed it, within the relationship that I'd had, and a really good counsellor. And that kind of led me onto the other ways of dealing with mental health, like through creativity. And I do, I'm a very holistic person, so I like to experience other ways of trying to cope with it as well. So I didn't really go down much of a medical route. It was more through creativity and healing, if you like, that helped support me. But everybody's different, so I definitely would recommend, you know, reaching out if you're struggling yourself with your local support networks that are in your area.
Absolutely. No, that sounds, yeah, absolutely. And is it, I'm sorry to hear the experiences you went through. And it sounds like in Cornwall, the services, in the end, did they support in yourselves more effectively later on?
So when I did crash, there was a family services worker who actually realised what was happening to me, because I hadn't even understood at that point why I was experiencing so much trauma and why I wasn't like feeling okay. And she reached out to the right people to put me in the right places. So I did a few programs, which were like female-led programs, called the Susie Project and the Phoenix Project. And then I had a counsellor for a while who was trauma-trained in situations like I was in, which was the domestic violence one. And that was very helpful because, you know, being able to talk about things is very hard. And I'm somebody who procrastinates quite a lot in conversations. And so having a counsellor who understood a lot of signs and was trained was able to delve a lot deeper, and I managed to get to the root of the problems a lot quicker. And then I also did healing, and I do sound baths, and I went to other healers and worked on different things, and nature, being out in nature, and, you know, creativity within wellness drawing, and learning a lot about your boundaries was a big one for me. Really understanding, you know, where you can and can't cope, and not putting too much on yourself, because I think people are brilliant at this. You know, they are the best ones to, you know, self-sabotage. And when you actually allow yourself to have time to heal and give yourself permission, it's an amazing gift, because it allows you to take that pressure off. And when I finally realized that's what I needed, and that it was okay to work on my mental health and to realize that it is an illness and that I needed time to heal, then the strategies and the support and the steps became easier, and I actually got where I needed to quicker because I didn't fight it. And I didn't overload myself and put loads of pressure on myself and worry about the way society sees you. And mental illness, I think, is one of those things that it can be looked upon and frowned upon quite a lot. So you can be, there's a lot of shame with it, and people can carry a lot of shame, and that prevents them from speaking about it. It prevents them from talking out about it. And also it can prevent them from getting help, because, you know, you don't want to feel like you're someone who's looked upon as, oh, you're one of those, you know? So I think once you manage to get past that and focus on yourself, you know, amazing things can happen, and you can, you know, get past it and get through it a lot quicker, and be able to function, you know, normally, if you like, you know, not have those barriers anymore. Know where you can have triggers that can set you off. Know what causes anxiety, or, you know, in some cases like what I had, PTSD. And then you can work from there, and then be able to be in situations that you can cope with and you can manage it. And then it gets to the point where nothing triggers you anymore. You know, you are dealing with it to such a degree that you don't really get affected as you did before. So I think it's definitely a journey, and that's what people need to understand. There's no quick fix.
Absolutely. And it all things take time, don't they?
Definitely. You know?
How long do you think it took you with using some of those strategies to manage yourself?
It definitely took a few years, I won't lie. I mean, it took me about 3 years after the relationship to realize that there was a problem, and I started to get help then, because I was just constantly going up and down and deteriorating, and I was quite a mess. So it took me about 3 years. Once I got the help, I would say it probably took me another 3-4 years. And then after that, you know, I really found my strategies. I didn't really need to have the support anymore. I was able to, you know, support myself and my children, build foundations for us all, and just, you know, be able to have a healthy relationship, move on, just move forward in life and just be really successful in all areas. So all in all, it, you know, from beginning to end, it did take sort of around about 7 years, I think, to really get over it all and to be completely functioning. But a lot of that was because I didn't know, I didn't understand what was happening, and the support wasn't there because I just kept struggling in a bubble. So
out of all the strategies, what do you think, which one was the most effective, do you feel?
I don't think I could pick one. I think when it comes to mental health, you know, you really need to work at it. And sometimes, you know, group things work. Sometimes it's the individual journey. And it might be for a time a group is working, and then the rest of the time you just need to figure it out on your own. And I found, you know, having the different areas of things created my pie. Yeah. So being able to have the counselor that I managed to find in the end, who was trained, really helped me. Before that, I was bumbling along and trying to talk, and I'd never really been somebody who had talked. And I found that that was a struggle. But then once I found someone I clicked with, that was when it started to be successful. And then the healing things, they helped to build a community as well. And they allowed me to have awareness of where I was more deeply and understand what was going on inside. And that was, you just got to work on different levels. That's the whole point. You know, with mental health, you've got to work on your emotional, you've got to work on your mental, and you've got to work on your soul, you know, your inner level, your soul level. You know, it's like medication. You can't just fix the body and not the mind. It won't work. You have to heal both. You know, so, and the mind is quite a big, vast thing. So you have to work on a few other levels to work with that. So for me, it was a few things rather than just one.
Which makes a lot of sense. You know, I think for some people, maybe one strategy works, or, you know, and it makes absolute sense to need to, you know, use a few different methods, you know, to get that support that you need, you know.
Yeah, because as you're on your journey, you know, one thing's working for a bit, and then you fix that bit, and then the next bit comes in, and then you've got to face that, and that might require something else. So there isn't one road that, you know, one magic cure that will just fix it all. It's a step-by-step process, and as you're going through those steps, you will then most likely need to, you know, get whatever you need on the next one.
Absolutely. And that makes a lot of sense, you know, and I'm glad, you know, you've done really well, because some people may take longer, you know, it depends on the person. And I don't think it matters in terms of it doesn't matter in terms of how long it takes, as long as, you know, the objective is reach, you know.
Absolutely. And I think if people give themselves time, that's the best gift they can give.
Absolutely.
Allow themselves that time. And when you really focus on your self-care, that's when things can happen and change, because people don't do that very much. I see it quite a lot, even with my own clients. People are so good at giving to others, but they don't rarely give to themselves. And to do that, you know, sometimes you need permission. Sometimes you feel guilt by doing that. And guilt can be one of the biggest things that can cause a lot more problems, because they carry so much of that. And it's trying to forgive yourself and to allow yourself that time. It is probably one of the best things you can do. But that's tricky. That can be tricky for people.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there's no quick fix for anything, like when it comes to mental well-being. It's something you need to, you know, tread carefully with. And it's brilliant that, you know, you focus on yourself. And you're right. I think some people find it difficult sometimes to give them that self-support, if that makes sense. And because maybe they don't know how to do it as well. So I think people just seeking help is a really good place to start, you know?
Yeah, and there are some great things out there when you start looking for support. I mean, often they're in hidden places, but when you start on that path, these things will often come in. I mean, I discovered recently that one of our local colleges, Duchy College in Cornwall, actually does a course on mental health. It's an art course, and it's for people just to sign up to be able to work on their mental health. And it's like an ongoing thing. You know, you don't have to just do it for a few weeks. It's for as long as you want. I'd like to look into it a bit more because I don't know that much about them, but I only recently discovered it myself and I didn't know they were around. So there are organizations and groups that are trying to pop up to reach out to people in ways that they feel that would be really good and responsive. But it's just, you know, locating those sometimes can be difficult because there isn't a place where you can go to and go, oh, right, this is the dictionary or the phone book for mental health support. Here we go. You know, it would be great if it was, you know, a directory for all this and we could all just log in. But often there isn't, and it can be, rely upon grants and support. But, you know, colleges and things are trying to broaden their curriculum to reach out to people, knowing that, you know, I suppose since COVID and stuff, people have struggled quite a lot. So there are a few more things available now than what there were a few years ago when I started realizing what was going on.
Absolutely. And I think it's brilliant that you know, if you've found out more about what support there is out there. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, Sarissa, thank you for that insight into, you know, how you supported yourself and how you got support as well, and how you moved forwards. Do you work with people struggling with mental health or anxiety or blocks holding them back in life?
I do. I mean, I run one-to-one workshops in my small studio space, and I've had clients that have come in who struggle with mental health or have had trauma or struggle with learning difficulties, and they want to be able to explore their art. And because of their mental health, they've lost their confidence and they just want to step back in and find techniques to be able to get the confidence back. Because one of the things I work really heavily with is colour. And colour is really important for me. It's one of the biggest factors in all of my work. It's a huge passion for me. And I think if people, when they see my work, that's the one thing that they comment on is my colour. And that's partly because I have synesthesia. And colour is just a big part of my everyday life. I feel it. I think it. I'm always thinking about it. And I really believe in colour triggers emotion and supports emotions. And in my small workshops, because I work with them for an hour or however long they need, we will explore colour and what colour does for them. And there's a lot of freeing techniques that you can use with it, and in the mindfulness and not thinking about what you're doing and allowing your hand to move. There's a lot of mark making. So I work with them with that and teaching in that. The other thing I work with my clients is sound healing, and I'll use sound healing and colors. And I will often drop them into a relaxed space and work on healing with them through sound and color. And often we'll drop into the place where there's pain and we'll work from it from there, or where the trauma is. So I work with them with that, because I do lots of healing and mediumship within my work and my creativity. So I like to work with people who struggle with these types of things. I've often watched it throughout my growing up with my children, because they have learning difficulties, and I've noticed how harsh the world can be with them, and that can also inflict mental health and trauma. So I've learned a lot throughout, you know, all the years and along the way with children. And so I've also done another course at the local college with teenagers and adults, working with colour and sketchbooks, because I work heavily in sketchbooks. And it was quite a holistic approach that I have with working with colour and working with the well-being that, with them. So that was also really eye-opening for me. It's really interesting.
Fantastic. And art, I've spoken to someone else about art in the past, and it seems to be something that gives people a lot of peace and relaxation, and I was just trying to think of another word, but yeah, it seems to let people express themselves in colour. And would that be right? You can express yourself more with art, and it kind of, that helps mental well-being in effect?
Definitely. I mean, I don't do art therapy myself. I'm not trained in art therapy, but I'm a big believer in art being very therapeutic. And you can, you know, understand a lot through art with people. It's a language. That's what it is. And when you're very creative, you understand this language. And that's why you will see artists' work, and some will really resonate with you, and some will make you feel incredibly uncomfortable, and some you just won't like or understand at all. But the ones that resonate with you, the ones that really click, that's your language. Those are the ones that you connect with. And when I have people that come and connect with me with mine, there is that language in there that they understand. Sometimes it will hit them because there's a bit of melancholy. Sometimes it will be because of the mark making and the brush strokes. And sometimes it will be because of the colours. And colours are very uplifting. When I'm giving my readings, when I do readings with people, I use colour to do readings. And I do what I call is like soul readings, that aura readings, and I sketch people's colors, because everyone emanates color. They were made up of colors. Everyone is filled with color. And when you're sketching the color, each color has got a meaning and a feeling. And when you explain that to the client that you're reading from, they understand the color. They understand what you're saying. It has a lot of significance for them. And the same thing happens when you're doing art. When you're losing yourself in that creativity, and you're not focusing on what you're drawing, and you're connecting with more of your feelings and emotions, you will literally paint that. You will paint through marks or colors what your emotions are inside. So your pictures become a story. There's a narrative there that you're sharing, and it might not be to anyone else. It's just you. That's fine. And if you keep those in a sketchbook, you then have a journey and archive of all of these feelings and emotions. And when you tap into that, they often open up to other things. They will open up other doors for you with your creativity. There were other things that you'll end up exploring. So using mindfulness techniques and allowing yourself to explore through creativity, you don't need to be an artist. You don't need to be a successful, well-paid artist to be able to explore this. You know, just getting yourself a decent sketchbook that has really good paper would be a brilliant start. You don't need to spend a lot on having good quality sketchbooks, but you want paper that's, I want to say, around about 160 GSM, because you're going to want to make marks or do something on that paper. It's going to need to take a little bit of, you know, frustration in there. So you want something that's going to last a little bit, and it will take watercolors. You can use your watercolors. You don't need to know a lot about paints. I would definitely start with something like watercolors, because it's something you can easily get out and you don't have to have a lot of supplies. And just start dipping in and just playing with your paint, playing with the colors, and using some pencil crayons that you might have to hand. Just start making marks. Don't think about what you're doing. Just allow yourself to play with the colors and the pencils and just make marks. And you, after you've done that, you will feel so much better. And your drawings don't need to make sense to anyone. They're just for you. And as you start to go through that process, you know, you will start understanding them. You will start to seeing coherent movements or things that you like. And maybe those will come in a bit more later on. But mindfulness drawings and using art for releasing your traumas or your stress is such a healing technique. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my art. It's definitely therapy for me, 100%.
Sounds brilliant. I mean, tell me a little bit more about being a medium and a healer and how this has helped you in your recovery overcoming mental health.
So,
you do quite a few things.
Yes, I do quite a few things. I have lots of things I keep busy with. I have been a medium my whole life. I guess I didn't really understand it as a child because I was very different from my family. And I always saw colors. I always saw these colors coming from people, and the colors would have lots of things going on in there. And I would obviously say these things to people. So I must have been a very peculiar child. And like I said before, I have synesthesia. So I didn't know that as a child. I didn't understand that. And it wasn't until I was much older. I started training as a medium when I was around about 22. I was down in the spiritualist churches learning mediumship and healing, spiritual healing, whilst everyone else was down the pub. So I was very dedicated at a very young age when I discovered it. And I traveled and I learned more. And then when I came back, I was in London for a while and I was learning in another spiritualist church in London. And they did a workshop, and it was an aura reading workshop. And I just started drawing the colors on people and on the, during this workshop. And then I gave a reading, and everyone who knew me at the time was like, "Sarisia, this is your thing. This is how you, you know, do what you do." So from then on, I just started doing aura readings, and I've been doing them ever since. And I do them at lots of events locally. And I just tune in with people and I will sketch the aura, and I'm channeling at the same time, but I'm reading the colors in people, and often I don't really understand exactly how it works because it's quite peculiar. I don't often see people doing what I do when I go to the events, but it just somehow works. And I will sketch these very funny little characters, and then there will be lots of colors on the page. Sometimes there'll be symbols and odd things. And then when I give the reading to the client, it will all make sense to them. And every reading that I've done and the aura sketch that I've done has been different. They've never been the same. So it just goes to show how much there is within people that can come out in a drawing, and how much they can understand about their life and where they are through a sketch. So that's generally what I do when I'm giving my readings.
It's fantastic. And I think the combination of things that you do must be very, very beneficial for the people you work with.
Yeah, I mean, even in my artwork, I guess you can see it's quite spiritual. It's very otherworldly, if you like. I'm definitely an imaginative artist. I struggle a lot trying to draw, you know, something that I'm looking at right in front of me, even though I try on a regular basis to go to my sketch clubs and I'm out with all the other artists. But I'm definitely someone who's more of an imaginative, otherworldly artist. I like to create from the imagination. And at the moment, like, I'm drawing lots of ducks for my new project, and I'm exploring ducks, but I'm looking at ducks on Pinterest and I'm sketching a couple, and then all of a sudden I've got loads of ducks, which are my own creation. So it just, it's a step for me, but then it just blares into the imagination. And then I've got these wonderful, very creative ducks that are not existing in this world at all, but they're in my art. So there they are.
What materials do you use to paint or whatever you might be doing?
So I'm a mixed media artist, and I love textures. I'm very kinesthetic being, so I love to learn and explore my world through touch. So my work is very much the same as that. I will use acrylic paints. I will use papers, stencils. I use lots of other mixed media techniques with wax pencil crayons. I love my neon pastels, the Candash ones. I will often use other pencil crayons. I use watercolors. I've even started using some oil paints on top of my painting. So I literally just use everything I can get my hands on and just goes on the picture. And I do use canvases, but I love paper and wood. I love drawing and painting on wood because you can make more marks and things on there. Is a lot, the brush strokes come through. I love that more, but it's, you know, canvas is definitely more obtainable. So it's a lot easier to, you know, to sell and, you know, do with stuff with it, with that, than wood, because there's a lot more framing involved. But I love wood more. Yeah.
Oh, sounds brilliant. Do you have a good understanding about art to use these techniques for mindfulness practice to ease stress and anxiety?
Do I say that again? Sorry.
Do you have a good understanding about art to use these techniques for mindfulness practice to ease stress and anxiety?
Well, I mean, I guess I did go to art college, and I actually did a degree in illustration. Actually, I did a degree in fashion design and fashion illustration. So I came away from the art for a while purely and simply because when I was at college, my art teacher was struggling very heavily with his mental health, and I was struggling as a teenager, and it just killed it for me. I couldn't paint for a long time. And I lost my ability to draw and paint through being treated by this art teacher in quite a bad way. And it took me many years to tap back into it. And the thing that got me back into art was a workshop on a workshop from channeling your inner child, which is something I do work on with my own clients now. And I think it's really important with your mental health to understand that you have this being inside you that has struggles, and you've got to learn to connect and love that part of yourself. And often it's a childlike being because, you know, they're vulnerable, and that symbolizes the vulnerability. So I learned to tap in and play with art again from a very childlike perspective, because when you become an adult, there's a lot of criticism. You know, you carry a lot of guilt, or, you know, you can shame yourself or feel that you're never good enough. Whereas children don't feel that. They don't have those feelings. And they'll pick up a pencil crayon and they'll just play very freely. So that was probably my beginning journey with the wellness, with painting from a childlike perspective. And that's very prominent still in my work today. All the techniques that I learned from painting and perspective and, you know, how you should be very good at art, I threw in the bin, basically, and I started to paint like a child. And those are the most freeing ways for me to paint. And I love that about my artwork, because my faces, if I do people, aren't symmetrical. If I draw trees, they won't look symmetrically perfect like trees. I don't generally like art to be like that. I like it to be misshapen, or, you know, very free in that way. And then once I learned how to paint more from that perspective, it then just went from there. I did a master's degree in illustration authorial practice. And on that course, I really understood a lot more about my mental health and what happened. And I wrote a book called My Heart Lives Here. And I published that through Austin Corley Publishers, and you can get it on Amazon. And that is a emotional book. It's illustrated poetry. So there's lots of images in there, and the poetry is talking about conversations in society that are often hidden, like mental health, bullying, suicide, trauma. And I did a series of poetry allowing those conversations to start so that people understood they weren't on their own. And I published that book to allow people to be able to understand that these things happen to everyone. You know, people have struggles with bullying, and even as an adult, I'd experienced it. And how to deal with things where, you know, you're faced with lots of harsh words from people and as an adult. So I went through a big journey through that course, and I learned a lot more about my art and wellness, well-being, and painting like a child. And I found it was very, very helpful, and it really helped me to overcome a lot of obstacles at the time.
Gosh, that's brilliant. You've done so much in the past as well regarding art, to be honest, and, you know, considering where you are now. I think that's fantastic. Does what you paint... Oh, actually, let's just go to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, Sarissa, thank you so much so far for everything you've spoken to us about. Do you think what you paint or draw, whatever it might be, makes a difference to how it supports your mental well-being? What I mean by that, for example, is do painting certain things make you feel much better than maybe focusing on other different types of art?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Gavin. I really don't think I would be where I am today if it wasn't my art, if I wasn't able to do that. It's just a bigger part of who I am. And in my creative practice, you know, I get very frustrated and I can get quite stressed if I haven't been drawing. And if I get, like, at the end of the day, I have a system where when I get into bed, my partner and I will put a program on and I'll get my art supplies out. And that's my mindfulness drawing time. I will relax from the day, I'm unwinding, and I'm just mark making in my sketchbook. A lot of these images are up on my Instagram page and I will document them daily, and sharing with everyone what I've been doing. But that's my time for my mindfulness drawing, that at the end of the day where I'm just trying to let go of it all and I'm trying not to think about what I'm doing, and I will just let my sketchbook, you know, have all these shapes and colours. And then when I'm in the studio during the day, it is a bit more to do with work-related stuff. And I do think that the paintings and the things that I paint and produce during the day are a reflection of the rest of my life. And what I'm working on in my sketchbook, it's definitely a journey for me. And I'm working on a new exhibition at the moment, which is happening in July. And my exhibition is about sailing through an ocean of blooms. So I've been trying to really focus on flowers and the water and boats. And it's quite an emotional perspective because life can be very up and down. And we don't often feel like we're, you know, receiving our harvest. You know, it can be quite a traumatic journey. It can be very turbulent. And so, I mean, really exploring this with the flowers and working on my boats and trying to explain this narrative through imagery. And again, I go into quite a meditative state when I'm painting. I have time distortion. I don't really focus on the time. And it's very difficult for me to even come out of it sometimes when I'm there and I'm painting and I'm exploring this story that I'm putting on a canvas. It's generally in that moment. And my paintings don't often go on longer than that. You know, they're quite impulsive. They're quite in the moment. And if I'm not happy with something and I'm not feeling the connection with it, I'll just paint over it and start again. I'm not someone who will keep working on it and keep going each day and keep developing this painting. It's very much a feeling-based place. It's very much of what's going on in that moment, and that's what's happening. And then once it's done, it's finished. I'm on to the next thing. And if I can't connect with that one, I literally will paint over it and start all over again. But I do find that it's not just paintings. I also will crochet, or I sew, and I will make other things as well. So sometimes I can't even connect to the painting aspect. It will be a making thing instead. So that's what I'll be focused on for a bit. So it goes up and down, really. I don't allow myself to have too many restrictions. If I'm feeling creative in this way, that's what I'll do. If I'm feeling creative in that way, then that's what I'll work on. So I'm not too rigid in my process, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. What advice would you give to other people who are struggling with their mental health?
Well, I would definitely suggest getting a sketchbook and some paints, and allowing yourself to share your story or your feelings and emotions on that page. It's definitely a great way to begin. And obviously reaching out, getting a really good counselor, someone you can talk to, or a really good friend. It's really important not to have judgment. And throughout your healing or your mental health, judgment is such a harsh thing. We feel judged all the time and we judge ourselves, and trying to come away from the judgment would be a really big step. And allowing yourself to not judge yourself and criticize yourself is one thing that people really struggle with their mental health. Their inner voice can be very critical and it can cause you a lot of problems. And again, this is where art can come in and can really help you to allow that inner voice out. And even poetry, you know, because I love writing poetry or small stories, but allowing yourself to just put those words down on paper. And even in my art, sometimes you'll see the words in there, there'll be images or text. Allowing yourself to have that space to, you know, focus on that would be really healing. And even if you just give yourself one word, like today I'm feeling, you know, really confused. Maybe something happened to you throughout the day and you've been struggling with some sort of confusion. And in your mind, you've been forgetting some stuff, because when you're stressed, you can forget a lot of things. And that can make you feel more confused. Maybe start with that. Write that word in a sketchbook. Just write confused down. And then work from there. You know, what does confused look like? Does it have a color? Maybe it's got a symbol. Maybe there's some shapes that you want to put with it. Add that to it. And as you're adding those things down, you're starting your creative piece for today, and it's just gone with one word, a color, maybe a few colors and some marks. And that for you is what your confused looks like. And then maybe focus on where it is in your body. Maybe there's an area in your body that you can connect with that. Maybe there's a feeling when you're focusing on it and it just comes up, and you might feel a slight twinge somewhere or a tingle somewhere. And then just focus on that, allowing yourself to just sit in that moment. And maybe the color that you found on your paper, you can just drop to that place, allow that color to go in there. And that would be healing that area of your body with that color of what you're feeling in that moment with what you've picked up today from being very confused. And that would be a great, you know, technique or something you can work on. And just have fun, just play with it all. You know, don't allow yourself to, you know, have any preconceived ideas. You know, don't put any pressure on yourself. Just allow yourself to play and have fun and use your non-dominant hand, because even just using your non-dominant hand allows you to relax a bit more. And even if you're making marks, don't look at your paper. Close your eyes. Allow your hand to just move freely across the paper. I mean, that just allows you to relax. It's a great technique, and it allows you just to play more freely. So I'd definitely recommend that.
Makes a lot of sense. Saricia, thank you so much for your time. If people want to, is it okay if people touch base with you, maybe on social media, or would that be okay?
Absolutely. You can reach me on Instagram under my name, which is Saricia Tartorin _. And that's my Instagram page. And you can, you know, send me a message and reach out to me on there. Take a look at the work on there. Maybe there's something in there that inspire you. I mean, I've been doing, trying to do posts every day and sharing my well-being process on there. And I've had lots of lovely messages from people who are saying things like, it's been very inspiring just seeing those posts every day. And that's helping them to connect with some of their art again or their own mindfulness. So there's a lot of visuals on there to help, you know, for you to look at. So, you know, that's also a great start. But yeah, please feel free to text or reach out to me through Instagram.
Brilliant. Thank you. And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me at GavinJ417 on Instagram. Until next time, take care.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. there's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.